We spoke about the two different types of diversions in life. If you've ever been driving and you've taken a wrong turn, or the diversion signs are not great, you can be on a diversion that is quite stressful and can be quite trying. And that can oftentimes be a diversion of our own making and bring in a lot of problems upon ourselves. Then there's a diversion where the signs are set up in order to help us to avoid something tragic. There's a diversion set up because a road is blocked, closed, or because there's an accident. And sometimes we can see things that we've never seen before. We can travel down the same road every single day, and suddenly we have to take a diversion and we see something new, we see something different. And that type of diversion then can be quite pleasant. And there's many times in the Bible where we see different characters have diversions. And some of those diversions have been because of their own doing and have got them into trouble. Other diversions God places in our paths to help us. And the particular diversion we're going to look at tonight is the diversion of preparation. And you'll find many times in our lives that we are diverted, if you like, because God is preparing us to do something. I think it's safe to say that life as we know it has taken a diversion for everybody. As we said this morning, nothing is going to be the same again. You know, the way in which we do church might be different for a while. The way in which we shop has become different. The economy is affected. People's livelihoods have been affected. People, you know, are in financial difficulty because of what happened. And I think it's safe to say that every single one of us is on a diversion of some kind. And sometimes God puts us on a diversion to help us to grow spiritually. You know, there were many times when I was growing up that, or I should say when I was younger, that I was actually told to grow up. And in fact, there are even times now where Joe will say to me to grow up. But, you know, I was told that many times in school that I needed to mature, immature, you know, you need to take responsibility, you need to grow up. And sometimes spiritually we need to grow up. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you never stand still as a Christian. You're either growing in the Lord or you're backsliding. You know, there is no middle ground in that regards. You're either going forward and growing, or you are backsliding and shrinking, as it were. And sometimes God puts a diversion in our path to help us to grow spiritually, to help us develop our maturity and our knowledge, to help us to grow up, as it were. Sometimes he uses trials, and sometimes he uses trouble, and sometimes he uses people, and sometimes he uses difficulties, and sometimes he puts these diversions in our path to teach us important things, that we might become better soldiers of the Lord, that we might become a better child of God, that we might become a better husband, a better son, daughter, a better child, whatever it might be, a better employee, a better employer, a better whatever it may be. And sometimes the Lord just needs us to grow spiritually so that we can be a better testimony for him. When Joe and I went into the ministry, when we first went into the ministry, there were plenty of diversions. There were things that came our way that nothing had ever prepared us for. You know, I didn't go to Bible college, but Pastor Ed and Pastor Chris Bluto and Pastor Stuart Rice Davis helped with some Bible classes in Bethany and Anicia, and we did some Bible classes. But none of those prepare you for some of the things that happen during ministry. And it was at those times of diversions, if you like, that the Lord really helped us and prepared us for some of the more difficult things that would come further on in our ministry. And it's the same with anything. And I'm sure anybody who's ever learned a particular trade will say the same thing. You can learn all you want in the classroom, but it's something completely different when you're suddenly placed in the work environment. And the same is true for us as believers. You know, we can read about certain difficulties, we can read about certain characters and their experience, but we won't actually grow until we go through a similar experience ourselves, and oftentimes the Lord has to send a diversion in our way to help us during that diversion to prepare us for something far bigger down the road. And that's what we see here with the children of Israel. And I want to look at the diversion of preparation. There are times in our lives where something might seem to knock us off our stride, but maybe that is God putting a diversion in our path to help us to prepare for what's coming further on down the road. Maybe that diversion has been placed there to help us grow, to help us prepare for the next battle, to help us prepare for the next difficulty, to help us prepare for the next valley, to help us prepare for the next trial that is about to come our way. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness." Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for the word that we have in front of us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to preach it and to proclaim it. Thank you for all of those that have gathered online, Father, and we're just so grateful that we can gather together as a church, as a body of believers. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. Maybe there is somebody here right now that feels like their life has taken a diversion. That is, this is not the path that they had planned for themselves. This is not the direction that they foresaw their family going in. And maybe you've placed this diversion in their way to help them prepare for something further on down the road. And Father, if that's the case, I pray that you would speak to them through this message. I pray that you would comfort their hearts. I pray that you would encourage them in a difficult time. And Father, I pray above all that they would know you a peace and presence during this time of diversion, and that at the end of this, Lord, they might be able to look back on this time and recognize and see you a mighty hand upon their lives in this time of difficulty. So Father, would you just speak to our hearts tonight, we pray. If there's somebody listening to this message who has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, then we pray that tonight would be the night that they would come to that saving knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we just pray and ask all of these things in that most precious and matchless name. Amen. So when we look at the Jewish people here, we find that they were finally leaving Egypt. They had been about 400 years in Egypt as slaves, and they were leaving all of that behind. We've just had the plagues sweep through Egypt. Moses and Aaron have stood before Pharaoh, asking that Pharaoh would let the children go. And finally, on that last plague, the night of Passover, Pharaoh finally relents and the children of Israel leave Egypt. But where do they go? They don't leave Egypt and step out of Egypt straight into the promised land. If you notice here, it said that the quickest way was through the land of the Philistines, but God didn't take them that way. It was God that led the people about. He led them, if you like, on a diversion. Now, as they left Egypt, if you like, they were in a point that literally split Africa and Asia. If they went to the north, they would encounter nothing but sandy desert. If they went south, all they would find is a labyrinth of twisted wadis and creeks amidst huge granite mountains and sandstone rocks. Somebody has described that area as they've called those mountains the Alps of Switzerland enclosed. That's how they describe it. But in either direction they went, one thing they definitely needed was God's guidance. But God didn't take them on the quickest path. And you know what? Oftentimes, God doesn't lead us, if you like, on the quickest path when we are headed somewhere in our spiritual walk. You might say, well, that's contradictory because, you know, the scripture says that it's a straight and narrow path to salvation, yes. But that doesn't mean that our walk after salvation is a straight and narrow path. Wouldn't that be great if that was the case? But oftentimes, we find ourselves wandering. Oftentimes, we find God putting in a diversion because of an obstacle, because of a trial, trouble, tribulation that is up ahead. And sometimes God leads us on these diversions, and we need to recognize the fact that we need Him to direct us. We need Him to guide us. The Hebrews were freed from Egypt, and it was time for them to go forward. But they didn't take the most direct route. They didn't take the shortest route. They didn't take the normal expected route. It was only 10 days. That's how long it should have been to go through the land of the Philistines and into the southern borders of Israel. And that's not what God intended for His people. He chose a diversion into the wilderness, a diversion onto a difficult trail. God chose the route. It wasn't Moses. Moses didn't suddenly turn around and go, you know, I know a shortcut. I know the way. God picked the route. God's people weren't ready to face the Philistines. Think about it. For 400 years, they had been slaves. That's what they'd been. They had been under the hand of a taskmaster. They weren't ready to fight the battle with the Philistines. For 400 years, they hadn't worshipped God as they should have done. And God has to teach them, if you like, spiritually. God has to train them to prepare them for the battles that lay ahead. They were still weak in their faith. They were still weak in their courage. They were still weak in their power. They were still weak in their obedience. Their faith was not equal to the opposition that they were about to face. And God knew that. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we kind of want the big spiritual battles, or we want to do the big spiritual jobs. And oftentimes we're not ready for that. We're not prepared for it. And God has to take us on a diversion to prepare us for something bigger. You might say, well, sometimes I go on a diversion and that something bigger never comes. Well, maybe we didn't pass the test on the first diversion. Maybe we didn't learn the lesson that God wanted us to learn. The Lord wasn't pampering His people. The Lord was preparing His people. The Lord was trying to perfect them spiritually. They needed to mature spiritually. And the wilderness was the perfect place for that. The wilderness would be full of trials. The wilderness would be a place where they would have to depend upon God. They would have to depend upon Him for their every need. They would have to depend upon Him for protection. They would have to depend upon Him for their provision. They would have to depend upon Him every step of the way. The Lord may lead us on this kind of diversion. Because sometimes we get to a point spiritually where we just depend upon ourselves. And sometimes we need to go on that diversion so God can prepare us so that we'll just depend upon Him. Sometimes we'll go on that diversion of preparation so that our faith can be increased. Can I say that during this diversion over these last few months, people have read their Bible more than they've ever read before. People have prayed far more fervently than they've ever prayed before. Would you say that this diversion has been an utter disaster from a spiritual point of view? It hasn't. From a spiritual point of view, God's children have really grown. The Lord may lead us on this kind of diversion to teach us faith, to keep us humble, to keep us reliant and dependent upon Him. You know, our diversion through the wilderness may contain stones of sickness, as it were. It may contain health problems. It may contain financial worries. It may contain the stress from family or job conflicts. It may contain bitterness and anger. It may contain the loss of loved ones. But in spite of the obstacles that come our way, we have to trust in Him. The diversion of preparation for the children of Israel would serve three purposes. And those same three purposes are true for us today. First of all, the diversion was used to develop their faith. So what happens? They're sent on a diversion. They come down to the Red Sea. What happens next? Well, they're trapped. They have got nowhere to go. In chapter 14, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He decides then to follow after the slaves and get them back. And he chases them. And it comes to a point where he effectively hems them in. You've heard the old saying, caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, the children of Israel were caught between the Pharaoh and the deep Red Sea. They were trapped. The Red Sea was in front of them and Pharaoh was behind them. But if they'd gone on the shortcut, if they'd gone the quickest way, they never would have faced Pharaoh. They never would have had this problem. So why did God do that? The diversion was used to develop their faith. If God had never taken them on that diversion, they would never have seen the hand of God. They would never have seen the pillar come down and protect them during the night. And they would never have seen, as Moses stretched his hand across the Red Sea, they never would have seen God's mighty power as he parted the waters. As millions of people walked across the Red Sea, safe to the other side, they would never have seen God defeat their enemy in one swift move as the waters came back over the Egyptians as they chased hard upon the children of Israel's tail. The diversion was used to develop their faith. And sometimes the Lord takes us on a diversion so that our faith can be developed, so that we can learn to trust in God. You might say, well, how has my faith been developed during this time? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have been studying the word through this time of difficulty, through this time of diversion, then that according to Romans 10:17, your faith has been increasing because the word of God has been increasing in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are on a diversion of preparation, then our question ought to be, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you need me to understand through all of this? What do you need me to apply to my life? What do I need to learn? Exact same thing happened to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, before Moses comes to the burning bush, we see that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He led the flock to the backside of the desert, and there the Lord appeared to him out of the burning bush. Moses had fled Egypt. Moses, if you remember, Moses had been, where do we go back to? Pharaoh wanted to kill all of the baby boys, the Jewish baby boys. Moses' mother protected Moses, put him in a basket and sent him off down the Nile to be protected. The daughter of Pharaoh picked up Moses and brought him up as her own child. After 40 years, Moses realizes who he is. I'm not saying that he realized who he was after 40 years, but after 40 years, he finally took matters into his own hands. He saw an Egyptian striking one of the Israelites, and he took matters into his own hands, and he killed that Egyptian and buried him in the ground. The next day, then, he tries to handle a dispute between two Israelites. And they said, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us as well. He was frightened because they knew what he had done. And he runs and he hides. But that was a diversion. Because for the next 40 years, God prepared Moses for this moment. Well, what did God do? God reduced Moses from the prideful man that he was when he took matters into his own hands to the humble man that he was when he said to God, who am I that you should call me to do this. I'm a nobody. I love what one preacher said. He said it took 40 years for God to teach Moses that he was a nobody. He thought he was a somebody. Then he realized he was a nobody. And then God could use him. God took him on a diversion of preparation. For 40 years, he'd prepared him in the backside of the desert. And then spoke to him through the burning bush. And God developed Moses' faith. Think about it. How much faith did that take in God to then suddenly stand before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and say, "You let God's people go"? That took some faith. Not in his ability, but a faith in his God. These diversions are used to develop our faith. But these diversions are also used to display God's power. God's power was indeed seen in the parting of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel needed to see that. They needed to see the power of God. They needed to realize that he could do the impossible. They needed to see that. And as I said earlier, if they'd gone the shortcut, if they'd gone the usual path, then they never would have seen that power. And if they'd never seen that power at the Red Sea, then they wouldn't have seen the power when God provided the water out of the rock. They wouldn't have seen the power as God provided manna through the wilderness. They wouldn't have seen that power as God guided them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. They needed to learn that God could conquer their enemies. They needed to trust and rely upon God. They needed to know that God could take care of them. And it was the same for the three Hebrew boys, for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were on a diversion. You know, they'd been diverted from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then whilst they were being trained to serve in the Babylon courts, along with Daniel, they refused to eat the king's meat. And if you like, that was another diversion. Then they were rising through the ranks of the Babylonian courts. And another diversion. They were told to bow down and worship the image of that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they refused to do it. And what happens? They diverted to the fiery furnace. But it was in that fiery furnace that they saw the power of God. Diversions of this kind help us to see God's power. Help us to realize that God is in control. Help us to realize that we don't serve some fairy tale type of creature that we have no access to. That we serve a powerful God. A God who can supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. How many times during this diversion has somebody suddenly sent you a text with the exact verse of scripture that you've needed at that exact moment of time? How is it during this diversion over these past few months? Has God sent somebody you away at the exact moment of time that you've needed it? It just demonstrates God's power. It's not a coincidence. It's not a happenstance. God has displayed his power over and over again. The diversion was used to digest God's word. The desert provided a place of solitude. It was here that the children of Israel would receive God's laws. When the Hebrews left, it says that they left harnessed. It says at the end of verse 18, God led the people about throughout the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That word harnessed means loins girded for battle. And we are to be prepared for service. You know, the Christian life is, as we've said before, it's not a playground out there, it's a battleground. We are called to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We had to put on the whole armor of God. We ought to be prepared for service. When we journey through life, there'll be many battles that come our way. When we find ourselves on these diversions of preparation, we need to realize that God is perfecting us and preparing us, maybe for a battle that is yet to come. Preparation is important when it comes to the Christian life. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You know, Paul found himself on a diversion. If you look at Galatians chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul said, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Paul, in my mind, the greatest Christian that has ever lived, Paul, he didn't go from on the road to Damascus. After he was converted, after he got saved, he didn't go straight from there to writing epistles to the churches. He went from there on a diversion and spent 3 years in the desert doing what? Learning the word of God, allowing the Lord to speak to his heart. It was there that he learned the importance of God's word. It was there that Paul learned the importance of battle. It was there that Paul was able then to learn those lessons, to be able to share with the churches of God what to do in certain situations, what not to do in certain situations. It was there that he learned the importance of God's word. And oftentimes God needs to get us on a diversion so that he can prepare us, so he can sit us down, so that we can be still and know that he is God, so that we can sit down and listen to that still small voice, so we can sit down and feed upon the word of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are we prepared to serve the Lord? Are we prepared to live for the Lord? If God put a diversion in our path right now, would we accept it willingly, or would we just moan about it? We've all been affected, and some people have been affected far more than others during these past few weeks. But what can we learn from it? I mean, it doesn't mean that we have to understand it. It doesn't mean that we have to make sense of it. We just need to trust God. If God has placed us on a path of diversion, he's preparing us for something. In 2 Kings 3:16 to 17, it says, "And he said, Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts." The army would have no water until the ditches were dug first. How much work is involved in digging a well or digging this ditch? The army would have put in time and effort and commitment. There was no option to just give up because their lives depended upon it. The lives of their cattle, as it were, depended upon it. And sometimes we need to recognize the fact that God is preparing us for a work. This Christian life is not a free ride. There's work involved. The army would have no water until the ditches were dug first. When you look at that widow, there would be no oil until the vessels were collected first. In 2 Kings 4, 3-4, then Elisha said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." There was work involved. This widow had to step out of her comfort zone. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago when we looked at empty things of the Bible. She would have had to have gone to her neighbors and borrowed again. Maybe she'd already borrowed from them. But if she wanted the Lord's blessing, there was something she had to do. Oftentimes we kind of sit back and put our feet up and say, right, okay, Lord, bless me. And maybe God needs to put us on a diversion to prepare us for service to him in the future. And there's a work to be done. We're not here to kick up our feet and just relax and sit back until the Lord returns. There'd be no healing for Naaman the leper until he first dipped himself in the River Jordan 7 times. Elisha sent a message unto him in 2 Kings 5:10, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That involved humbling himself. This was a captain of the sinning army. This was somebody who was high up in the ranks, and here he was humbling himself. He said, surely the rivers back in Syria are far nicer and cleaner than those in Israel. We have rivers back there which are far cleaner than the River Jordan. I'm not going to do that. And that prophet didn't even come out and speak to me himself. He sent a servant. It's incredible that in that account of Naaman the leper, the two people that stand out in that story are not named. It's not Elijah, it's not Gehazi, and it's not Naaman. It's the Hebrew maid who said to Naaman, her master, there's a prophet in Israel. Go and speak to him. And then there's another servant that says to Naaman, surely if you were told to do some great thing, you would have done it. All you've been told to do is dip yourself in the river 7 times. And Naaman does it, but Naaman had to humble himself. And sometimes these diversions of preparations are there for us to humble ourselves in the sight of God, to recognize that we can't do this on our own, to recognize that we're not the spiritual giant that we thought we were, that we're not the great Christian conqueror that we thought we were, that we're not able to rush hell's gates with a water pistol, as it were, because we're not that much of a spiritual giant. And sometimes God has to send us on this diversion of preparation for us to humble ourselves. Naaman would never have experienced the blessing of being cleansed as a leper if he'd not humbled himself and just simply followed the commands that were given to him. There would be no harvest until the ground had been broken up. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That involves hard work, breaking up the ground so that the seed can be sown. That's hard work. It takes effort. It takes time. And guess what? You don't see results for months. You don't see the results of all of that hard work until months later, after the rains have come and the harvest is ready to be reaped, as it were. And sometimes the fallow ground of our hearts need to be broken up so the word of God can be sown once again in our hearts. Sometimes God sends us on that diversion of preparation so that our hearts can be broken in readiness to receive the word of God. There'd be no vision without obedience. John 9:7, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. What if the blind man had said, and that's what Elaine spoke about this morning in Sunday school. Well, what if the blind man had turned around and said, I'm not doing that. I'm not, you know, this was up on the Temple Mount, the Pool of Siloam. It was down at the bottom end of the city of David. And, you know, that was a fair way to travel as a blind person. He could have said, I'm good. I'll just stay where I am. I'll stay where I'm comfortable. I'll stay, you know, where I know my surroundings. But in his obedience, he went and he received his sight. This diversion of preparation sometimes is just a help our obedience when it comes to listening to the Lord's voice. The message of preparation came from the prophet Amos, who said, "Prepare to meet thy God." We have to prepare daily to do what the Lord wants us to do. You know, Joe said they were on a Saturday when her mum and dad owned the fruit and veg shop up in Ferndale. She had a list of chores to do on a Saturday. And she had to get all of those jobs done before her mum came home. And Joe had a brother. We've still got a brother. I say he had a brother then. Math is still about. And what Matthew used to do for a laugh, he would tie Joe up in a chair, put it in front of the telly, and literally, as the key was going in the door, when Joe's mum and dad were returning from work, as the key was going in the door, then he would untie her from the chair. And Joe would be panicking because she hadn't done the jobs that her mum had asked her to do. That sounds quite cruel now, but it's really funny. Sorry, I know you're traumatized by that. Your brother's horrible. I don't know why your parents like him so much. So she panicked because she wasn't able to get those jobs done. And you know, sometimes as believers, the Lord has left us here with a job to do. If the Lord was to return right now, would we be like Joe? Would we be panicked about him coming? We've not done enough. Have we witnessed enough? Have we read enough? Have we prayed enough? We're not saying that we've not done enough to be saved, because salvation is settled the time that you accept Christ as your Savior. But we are to do the works of him that sent us. Would we be prepared to meet our God right now if he came back? Have we done all that he's asked us to do? Maybe the Lord needs to send us on a diversion of preparation so that we can be faithful in doing what he's asked us to do in the first place. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then you need to prepare to meet your God. Because whether you believe in him or not, you can turn around all you want and say, "I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, he doesn't exist." Regardless of whether or not you don't believe he exists, you will meet him one day. You will stand before him one day. And what you do with his son depends upon where you will spend eternity. You won't be able to stand before God when he on that day of the great white throne judgment and say, "I don't believe in you," because there's not a single person in hell that is an atheist. Every single one of them believes that there's a God. But there's nothing they can do about it now. But you can. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today before it's too late. Prepare to meet your God, because one day you will stand before him. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you're on a diversion of preparation right now, not preparing to be saved. If you were saved right now, maybe God is preparing you for something far grander down the road. Maybe God is preparing you for a bigger battle down the road. Maybe God is preparing you for something even more difficult than what we face now, further on down the road. And we might not fully understand why we're on this diversion. But I can promise you this. The diversion will indeed help us to see God's power. This diversion will indeed help us to develop our faith. And this diversion will help us to digest God's word. Don't be overwhelmed by your troubles. Don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your mind and for you to think that God can't help or God doesn't care. Don't be overwhelmed. You may feel like things will get worse and worse and they'll never get any better. And maybe your faith is being strained by problems, or maybe you don't understand why you're on this path of diversion at this moment. But don't become cynical with God. There's a story of a group of soldiers being trained to parachute. After receiving instructions on how to operate their chutes, they were given one last instruction. The instructor said, "Now, if there is a 1 in a million case," he said, "if the main parachute doesn't open, bear in mind you have a reserve chute. You just pull the hook on the right side and it'll open gradually. Relax. When you land on the ground, there'll be a station wagon there waiting to take you back to the barracks. One soldier was still not convinced, but the sergeant got him to the door, pushed him out of the plane, and the soldier pulled on his cord and nothing happened. And then he remembered the reserve chute. He pulls on the other cord, nothing happens. And he says, that is just typical. And I bet the station wagon won't even be there to take me back to the barracks. Thank you for laughing, girls. Don't become cynical with God. Don't get in that cynical mode that begins to question and doubt everything that God has said because we're on this particular diversion. God can still be trusted, even when we feel like things are not working out the way they should. God has not asked us to understand our circumstances and situations. God's just simply asked us to trust him. That's where our faith ought to be. And these diversions develop our faith, display his power, and help us to digest his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. We just pray that you would bless to us the reading of your word and that you'd help us to apply these thoughts to our lives, Lord. And I just pray that whatever diversion path people are on today, that you would just help them, Lord. I know that there are big decisions to make. I know that there are people facing extreme difficulties, Lord, and I just pray that you would be with them. You know the situations that they are heading in tomorrow, and you know the situations that people are facing this week. You know the difficulties that people have gone through up until this point. And Father, I pray that you would display your power in their lives as you prepare them for the next chapter, as you prepare us, Lord, for the next step in our Christian walk. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to lean not on our own understandings, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and that we would just allow you to direct our paths, even if that path seems like a diversion. Father, we just want to say tonight that we love you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll see if I can get the last hymn right now. We'll stand as we sing Cornerstone. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know there'll be a few people that would appreciate your prayers tomorrow with work situations. So if you could just be in prayer for those, I know that that would be appreciated. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, whatever diversionary path that we might find ourselves on at the moment, whether it's a diversion of hesitation, if it's a diversion of correction, Lord, if it's a diversion of distraction, or even a diversion of preparation, that you would help us, Lord, that you would help us to learn the lessons that you need us to learn. Father, you would speak to our hearts in such a clear way. And Father, you know the need of your children tomorrow, Lord, and I just pray that you would meet that need in such an incredible way, that you would answer prayer. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with their health, those who are facing difficulties in work, those who are having financial problems, Lord, because of this situation we find ourselves in. Father, I just pray that you would undertake and that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory, which is in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity to gather around your word. And we pray that you receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.